हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम् हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् भद्रम् कर्णे भिश्रणुयामदेवाः भद्रम् पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो लेट् अस् रीड् the verse number let's start verse number 8 let us quickly remember that we have seen the previous verses three verses 5 6 and 7 in these three verses the brahmaji who plays the role of a teacher in this kaivalya upanishad discussed the topic of Meditation means, I want to give you the definition of meditation in Sanskritam. Saj vijatiya pratyaya anantarita sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. I'm going to ask B to repeat now. Vijatiya pratyaya anantarita sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. One long sentence. Pratyayaha means thought. A thought is called pratyayaha. Pratyaya pravahaha means flow of thoughts. Pratyayanam pravahaha. Vrittinam pratyayanam pravahaha means flow of thoughts. But flow of which thoughts? Sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. Jatihi. Now sajatiya means the thoughts of similar object, which means the flow of similar thoughts. Flow of similar thoughts means what? The object of each thought or all the thoughts is one and the same. Many thoughts keep flowing, but object of all the thoughts is one and the same, means sajatiya pratyaya pravahaha. Sajatiya means thoughts of similar object or similar thoughts. Then it is meditation. What does it mean then? Vijatiya pratyaya anantarita, which means in between there is no other thought, dissimilar thought. Vijatiya pratyaya means dissimilar thought. So constant, continuous flow of thoughts of same object or similar thoughts to the exclusion of dissimilar thoughts. Simple. Today I am able to tell you this because I've already explained simply. Is it clear now? Which means you can't think of something else. Whether you think of Bhagavan in one form, who is Bhagavan? You are very clear. Even though this is the fact about Bhagavan has not yet been understood thoroughly, very clearly. But still there is an understanding of Bhagavan being the whole. We use these terms always. Bhagavan is omnipotent. Bhagavan is omnipresent. Bhagavan is omniscient. All-knowing, almighty, all-pervasive. Bhagavan is the whole. We simply, in every culture, doesn't matter which culture you hail from, in every culture, these terms are used mechanically, not really seeing what is implied by each term. So, if all that is here is Bhagavan disunderstanding, which means, so that Bhagavan, whether you invoke that Bhagavan, the whole, the universal natural law and order, in one given form, or whether we see Bhagavan as the whole, the Bhagavan in the form of the entire universe, or you see the truth of Bhagavan, the reality which is manifest as the whole, you know, you see the very reality in your own mind as your the truth of very I, which is otherwise called contemplation, idhyasanam. In all of them, object of meditation is Bhagavan. But in the first two, you see in invoking Bhagavan in a given form or in seeing Bhagavan as the whole, the object of Bhagavan is an object of meditation which is different from you. And such practice of such meditation will bless you with mental, relative mental tranquility, relative serenity or calmness, agitation-free mind or focused attention or steady mind, which is required for Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. This I am not going to translate these three words. But the Swarupa Anusandhanam Nididhyasanam can be also meant by another word, Swarupa Anusandhanam. Dhanam means placing. Now, why am I using all these words? If you happen to come across, hear such words, somebody else saying, oh, Swamini used only that word, she didn't mention this word, that doubt should not come. And also I wanted to see the meaning, the very expression in Sanskrit tells you the meaning. Dhanam means placing. I tell you, it's for Europeans, you are very safe. You don't really get confused. There is another word, dhanam. Dhanam means giving, isn't it? That is dadati, iti dhanam. Diyate, iti dhanam. That is da. But this is dadati, means placing. Dadati. Dadati, dadati. Difference is there. So here, dhanam is different from dhanam. That is why when we chant, we have to be very careful. Sometimes now, people think they're chanting Sanskrit mantras. So highly enthusiastic, good intention, genuine devotion, very great devotion, but they make dhanam, they'll say. Very careful. So dhanam means placing. Dhanam means giving. Then, தானம் சந்தானம் சந்ததாதி. சந்தானம் மீன்ஸ் பிளேசிங் அக்யூரேட்லி அப்ராப்ரியேட்லி ஆன் வேர் தி அட்டென்ஷன் ஹேஸ் டு பி பிளேஸ்ட், விச் மீன்ஸ் இட் இஸ் நாட் ஹியர் அண்ட் தேர், ஆன் எக்ஸாக்ட்லி அப்பான் வாட். சந்தானம், okay, you placed it, again you take it after, no, anusandhanam. Anu is a prefix like some, which implies continuously, constantly, consistently. All these are implied by that prefix anu, anusandhanam. So placing the focusing one's attention of the mind on how accurately, continuously, on what? Swaswarupam, one's own swarupam. Swaswarupa anusandhanam is nididhyasanam. Is Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. Three different terms I have used. In English we have contemplation, which is the meditation without which Brahma Jnanam, knowledge of the reality, or Arupa Ishvara Jnanam will not happen. It is this Swaswarupa Anusandhanam or Nididhyasanam or Nirguna Brahma Upasanam, which is otherwise called contemplation, which alone will make the knowledge you have gained through Shravanam and Mananam effective. So Shravanam and knowledge you have gained, I told you already, Shravanam blesses one with the Jnanam, removing ignorance. Mananam helps one resolve one's ignorance, converts one's doubtful knowledge into a doubt-free, clear knowledge. But doubt-free, clear knowledge might be forgotten. So it must become unforgettable knowledge, which alone, so that the knowledge will always be handy whenever a problem comes, for you to be objective towards the problem and not to be affected by the problem, to enjoy the moksha. Isn't it? That is why that Nididhyasanam alone makes the knowledge really useful and effective. That is why without Nididhyasanam also, knowledge is not, that knowledge without Nididhyasanam is as good as ignorance only. And knowledge without Mananam is also as good as ignorance only. And without Shravanam, there won't be knowledge at all. This we have to understand. And only thing is, this actually, the actual Nididhyasanam is impossible without having done Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam, which the Brahmaji, the author, teacher, here in this Upanishad, the very first answer, Shraddha Bhakti Dhyana Yogad Avaihi. When he mentioned it, that he mentioned all the very first teaching, he begins his teaching with that sentence. Now you know why it is. So he, in this verses 5, 6 and 7, the Acharya here discusses the topic of meditation, and we saw that. In fact, the Shravanam and Mananam will help you see the meaning of the words revealing or implying the nature of one's own swarupam, or nature of Brahman, the reality. And that Shravanamanidhi, so therefore, that's why we say ascertained, doubt-free, unforgettable vision is moksha, which is called sthira jnanam, dridha prajna or sthita prajna, which is possible only when you do Shravanamanidhi dhyasanam systematically. Otherwise, you should remember the order. And that will be effective, possible only if you are qualified for that jnanam. So that qualification, we saw also antakarna shuddhi and antakarna naischalyam, for which these twofold meditations, what we see as invoking Bhagavan in a given form or seeing Bhagavan as the whole, these two types of meditations will help you to have that focus attention, the architta naischalyam, but living a life of karma yoga with such an proper attitude and 100% commitment to dharma, surrendering one's will to dharma, is very important, without which one cannot live a life of karma yoga, without which you cannot be adequately pure. To make this Shravanam Mananam possible or effective or useful. And there again, I said an important lesson point previously. You know, mental purity means, I mentioned this earlier, we talk about absolute mental purity and relative mental purity, isn't it? Absolute mental purity means mind being free from the hold of raga dveshas for good. When you become absolutely free from the hold of likes and dislikes, or desire in the form of like or dislike, then you have accomplished absolute purity. That will happen only in knowledge. But for that knowledge to take place, for you to accomplish absolute purity, or to understand already yourself being free from the raga dveshas, what do you mean by saying accomplishing absolute purity? You can never become absolutely pure. You can never accomplish absolute purity. Why? Because your swarupam, actually, you are already absolutely pure. You are purity yourself. Shuddha. Why would you say pure? You're already purity yourself. You're already free from, you're already absolutely pure, means you are, from the standpoint of Swarupam, you are free from the hold of desires. You are free from the hold of desires in the form of likes and dislikes, raga dveshas. Raga dvesha vihinaha, you are already. Rahitaha, you are already free. That is why in jnanam, when you recognize your swarupam, when you shift your eye sense from the mind, when you shift your eye sense from the body, of course, you easily reshift. Sense organs, you easily shift. Pranas, you shift your eye sense easily from pranas. You shift your eye sense easily from even your physiological function, the pranas or karmendriyas. You shift your eye sense from all the thoughts. You shift your eye sense from the very mind. Then you don't know where to place it. You don't need to place anywhere. The I will resolve in reality, its own swarupam. Like how cognitively you can resolve the wave form and name in its reality water. When you recognize your swarupam being Chaitanyam, the pure consciousness, and when you resolve this I sense in consciousness, then you take ownership of your swarupam being purity, your swarupam being already pure, which is called what? Which is actually absolute. You don't accomplish as though accomplishing. You accomplish absolute purity. It's only taking ownership of what you are already. But for that absolute purity, for you to recognize a swarupam being absolutely pure, for you to resolve the wrong notions, for you to know, for shavanam mananam nididhyasanam to be effective, you need to be relatively pure. You need to relatively neutralize your raga dveshas, for which the only way, relatively neutralizing one's raga dveshas means managing one's desire in the form of likes and dislikes. That's called thought management, for which not many ways, only way is living a life of karma yoga, which means being committed to live a life of dharma. I tell you, people come and ask again and again and again same question. Swamiji, how to manage my anger? How to manage my desires? I really get angry with this person. I'm not saying you can't give up your anger. You can't give up your desires. You can't do that. That's why fervent, intense prayer. Seek Bhagavan's grace every day. Get up and pray, oh Lord, please. Please help me to manage my desires. Please help me to manage my anger. That prayer must be there. Seek Bhagavan's grace. Seeking help is an intelligent way of living. So pray to Bhagavan and be committed to live a life of dharma. Make it a point. Unless and until I make it a point to be committed to live a life of dharma, I make all possible efforts to not to compromise with dharma for anything in the world, there is no way of mentally becoming qualified for jnanam. Okay? Because why should I live a life of dharma? There's only way you can become mentally pure. Can become relatively pure. You know, why do you need to become relatively pure? The relatively pure mind alone can become an alert, sharp mind. Very important. I always tell, for a person to become intellectually sharp and alert, otherwise you're dull. Being compared people who cheat and loot things, adharmic people are mistaken to be clever people. Our perception. Oh, they're very clever, you know. Escape, that's a different thing. But really speaking, the subtleness, the sharpness, the alertness you require for appreciating subtle facts revealed in the Shastram and for which you need to live a life of dharma is the secret. Understand? Otherwise, because the more we go against dharma, the more we have frictions in the mind, the more we are split personality and the conflicts in the mind, you will be agitated. There's no way of being alert and sharp. Understand? That is why this karma yoga and dharma governed life is the only way to manage your anger, manage your jealousy, manage your hatred, manage your... Of course, you can't undo them, but you can manage them. Prayerfully seeking Bhagavan's grace. Pray intensely for Bhagavan's grace that you're not able to manage and try to be committed to live life of dharma. That's the only way you can manage. Okay? Not by saying those things. So this is the lifestyle. So live a life of karma yoga. Be prepared for shravanam and dhyasanam. Or while doing shravanam also, you have to live a life of karma yoga. Then you can go through the sadhanani, all the means properly. Then you'll be blessed with knowledge, and which is moksha. This is the old lessons. These are all old lessons. I simply wanted to sum up. Okay. Now we'll go to this next mantra. Now, suppose that person, not suppose, the person, this person who goes through this sadhanani, all these means of acquiring knowledge, goes through systematically, properly, lives a clean life of dharma, like karma yoga, becomes mentally pure, and he practices. See, that's why worship itself is a sort of upasana. You relate to Bhagavan. Now, the pujasana, that's why we say, please, we do pujas mainly to remain connected to Bhagavan, which means it is, becomes ekarupa dhyanam or becomes vishwarupa dhyanam. So here, even then, this our upasana, the meditation, helps you to become more focused. And then, when you're intellectually alert, sharp, and also steady and pure, relatively pure enough, then for your shravanam, which you have been doing, becomes effective, and which itself, in due course of time, will become mananam, and the very class will become nididhyasanam. And not only that, and even outside of the class, whatever you have heard and understood, when the more you dwell upon, the more you focus, when things become clearer, and I tell you, then you will be contemplative. And once you are contemplative, then contemplation in due course of time definitely should bless one with the vision. What is the vision? Here, vision is all that is here is the reality. All that is here is Brahman, Paramatma, Ishwaraha. Who is all this here is Ishwaraha means who is Ishwara here? Ishwara, the word Ishwaraha means the Lord. And it will become very clear there is no Lord other than the reality. Parampurul allada vera irivan inga kadayadu. There is no Lord other than the reality. So, next sentence. You have to follow every sentence I am saying. Lord is not, see, reality is not the Lord. The truth is not the Lord, but the Lord is reality. How do you understand here? Water is not the ocean, but the entire ocean is water. Wood is not the door or window, but the door and window are the wood. So here it must be very clear. Therefore, reality is not the Lord, but there is no Lord other than reality. Now you say, the whole universe is manifestation of that reality, means the whole universe is Ishvara. Therefore, then we say what now? What is here is not just only Ishwaraha, only Brahma. You can say all that is here is only Brahma, reality, or you can say all that is here is only Ishwara. Now you understand the concept of Ishwara, you at the same time you see, you also understand reality. You don't see two different things. What is Brahma? All that is here is Brahma. And what is Ishvara? Ishvara is Brahma. What is all that is here? All that is here is Ishvara. It's all, you understand step by step. It is possible for one to say that only if a person has recognized this reality in as his own self. It is not possible for one to say all that is here is only Brahma, you know. How do you know that? Isn't it? Which means the one who has done the Shravanam and Nididhyasanam would have blessed him with that vision of the self being identical with Brahman. Here again, in other Upanishads, it is made very clear. It is said, what is this? What is Brahman? Hey, Brahman is the cause of the cause of the universe is Brahman. What is Brahman? The cause of the universe is Brahman. What do you mean by that? Which means that from which the whole universe has come into existence, in which the whole universe remains sustained, and into which the entire universe resolves, that is Brahman. Therefore, we say what? Brahman, the cause of the universe is Brahman. Which means existence of Brahman is the existence. Then you come to the next point, you come, okay, if the cause of the universe is Brahman, we say, the existence of cause is the existence of the effect. There is no such a thing called effect existing or effect enjoying independent existence, isn't it? Existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. How do we know? Existence of the wood is the existence of the door. So the existence enjoyed by an effect called door is the existence of the wood alone. Isn't it? It doesn't have existence of its own. It has only borrowed existence. The Namarupa door has only borrowed existence. It doesn't have existence of its own. Therefore, we say that Namarupa is Mithya, and that which has independent existence alone can lend existence, that alone is called Satyam. Therefore, we say it is the existence, if we say cause of the universe is Brahma, then that means existence of Brahman is the existence of the cosmos universe. Which means, Brahman is, causes Brahma, the whole universe is an effect. So, karanam, here karyam. Which means, the existence enjoyed by universe, the cosmos, is actually existence of Brahman. Therefore, we say existence. So, therefore, how do we understand, in what form does the cause exist in effect? You have to see here. If we say there cannot be an effect without the cause, so the cause is very much found in the effect. So, in what form, what is the form of the cause in an effect? In what form do you find the cause in an effect? You find the cause in the form of existence of the effect. Understand? In the form of existence only. So, now you find the water in the form of existence of the ocean. You find wood as the in the form of existence of the furniture. You find gold in the form of existence of an ornament. Similarly, you find always the cause in the form of existence of an effect means it must be very clear. You find Brahman is in the form of existence of the universe. Therefore, what proof do you need to appreciate the existence of Brahman? Therefore, we all say Bhagavan Asti, for which you don't need extra knowledge. Bhagavan is that half knowledge. If you are intelligent human being, you can easily say, Bhagavan is, God is, reality is. How do you say? Because universe is. Therefore what? Universe cannot be. Water is, therefore ocean is. Similarly, we say, reality is, therefore the universe is. Therefore is, to know whether the truth is not or is there or not, you don't need Shastram. Understand? You must be intelligent, that's all. But you need your intellect. Intellectual capacity is not enough to appreciate what that reality is. Is it clear? You need more. That is where you need Shastram. To know Bhagavan is, to know that reality is, you don't need Shastra. But what that reality is, how that reality is, understand? Because you understand, okay, reality, because reality, Brahman, is in the form of existence of the universe. Why do you ask, I arrive at it? Because in the cause of the universe is Brahma, reality. Therefore, I understand the exist, Brahman is in the form of the existence of the universe. In fact, therefore, existence of the universe is Brahma. So, now you say, the very existence is Brahma. Why do you say that? If I remove the water, ocean will lose its existence. Therefore, water is the existence of the ocean means, is existence is the swarupam of the water, the cause of the ocean. With reference to ocean, the swarupam of the cause of the water is existence, satta or satyam. The swarupam of the cause of the chain is what? You know, the gold. The swarupam of the gold, the cause of the chain is existence. The swarupam of the cause of the furniture, the wood, is existence. You got it? Therefore, existence is the swarupam of Brahman, the cause of the universe. That is why when you say any object is there, that meaning of that verb is existence. Mike is means mic plus existence. Understand? When you say ocean is means ocean name and form plus water, the existence. Isn't it? So here it is existence. Now we have to understand the objects are so many. That is why whenever you add the plural, where the objects are in plural or singular, the existence is always in singular. People are means existence of people is. Mike is means existence of Mike is. Therefore, this existence is one. Existence is all pervasive. Existence is timeless. Existence has no beginning and no end. And existence is untouched. Four points you have to remember. One, eternal. Existence is indivisible. Existence is one. Existence is eternal. And existence is untouched. Now we say, hey, and what is that existence? What is that swarupam? And you, Brahman, reality being the abstract, subtlest, you have to understand the reality, the truth, the cause in terms of its swarupam. So what is that which lends satta, sat, the existence to this universe? And that existence, you know, is nothing but consciousness. But you cannot arrive at consciousness as an object. Understand? That is why existence is the, you see the world means, you see the world means you are appreciating the reality in the form of existence with the universe. Like when you see the ocean, you are not seeing pure water, you are seeing water obtaining in the form of ocean. But you say, no, no, I want just the water without the Namarupa ocean. If you see the water with the Namarupa, you call it manifest water. If you see the water without the name and form ocean, it is pure water. Manifest and pure. There is no impure. Okay? Manifest and pure. So you can, if you, I can say, I can't do the pumping of water from the ocean, but you have to be intelligent enough to cognitively delete the Namarupa and cognitively appreciate what is pure water. What can it do? What is pure water? Pure water is the reality. Isn't it? Because you are seeing only ocean. So intellectually, cognitively, you resolve the Namarupa and appreciate what is the reality. Is it, what is what it means by saying pure water? Is it clear? Similarly, when you say the whole Jagat is what? No. When you say Jagat is means Brahman plus Jagat Namarupam is equal to Jagat. When you say ocean means water plus name and form ocean is equal to ocean. That is why the Jagat, Brahman plus Namarupa, Jagat, name and form universe is equal to universe. Oh, what is pure existence? So you can say, you can take the word Brahman now, you can use the word existence. Existence plus name and form universe is equal to universe. No, I see only then manifest Brahman. What is this universe now? Manifest existence. But I want to see pure existence. Then you can't have that. Cognitively resolve the name and form universe and understand what pure existence is. But now still now you want to know. But here, the pure existence you cannot objectify. Pure existence is not objectifiable. If you, pure existence is available only as pure consciousness, not as an object, but as the very truth of the I, the existence of the mind. That is why we need the Shastram. To understand Bhagavan is, you don't need, but to know who Bhagavan is, what Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is, what the truth is, you need Shastram. Isn't it? Then, this help of the Shastram, Shravanamani, Dhyasanam, you using all those different methods, I'm not doing all those things here, just I'm going to go over the text now. You arrive at this Swarupam. You negate everything as an object of knowledge. How do you arrive at that reality? The existence being consciousness. Existence is nothing but consciousness. Sat is nothing but chit. How you can say that? Because Shastram tells you, anything objectifiable is, no, Brahman is non-objectifiable. So anything which comes under the category of object is to be negated as what? Non-Brahma, Anatma. Therefore, you negate everything which is objectifiable, you negate na, 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 iti. Now you negate, and what cannot be negated, the negated in Sanskritam is said badhitam. What cannot be negated is what? Abadhitam. Non-negatable is what? Even you negate the I, the knowledge I am as an objectifiable vritti. Why? Because in waking that vritti is, in deep sleep state that vritti is not, means that vritti is also, vritti means the thought is also an object of knowledge, which means that in whose presence, because of whose presence the thoughts being there, thoughts being not there, is, you know, is there. The presence of the thoughts and the absence of thoughts is brought to light because of whose presence, because of the presence of which, that is, you know, Swaprakasha Chaitanyam. That is how you arrive at the consciousness. And there is, you again, you really, really, you crush your intellect, you cannot go beyond it. That consciousness, which is the witness of the three states of the mind, in whose presence thoughts coming, thoughts being, thoughts resolving, all the three states of experience, you know, experience are possible because of whose presence, because of the presence of which, that is distinct from the experience. That experiencer, the knower, is actually whose active, who knowing or experiencing is not an action but the very nature, swarupam. You understand that reality is what? That is what the reality is. That is Chaitanyam. Understand now? Chaitanyam. Like when I say, in whose presence the presence of the mic is known, in whose presence the mic is taken away after the class, the absence of the mic also will be known. That is the swarupam of the mic. Understand now? So, for the I thought also, what is swarupam of the I thought? Consciousness, which is the Atma. Okay? And further study, repeated listening to different Upanishads and things will help you understand how that consciousness is one and how that consciousness is eternal, timeless, how that consciousness is all-pervasive, how consciousness is, in fact, untainted, untouched, and that consciousness is pure existence. They're not two different things. Consciousness manifest is the existence of the universe. Pure existence resolved is what? Pure consciousness. Sadeva chit. Chideva Sat. So, then this is what understanding the Atma, the Self, the content of I, being identical with truth, the reality of the whole cosmos. This is not an easy joke. Advaita cannot be made easy. Okay? It needs much subtler mind. So, when you understand this, you see the Atma Swarupam being identical with the Swarupam of the universe. You see Atma Eva Brahma, Brahma Eva Atma, the two different words implying the only Vastu consciousness, the Chaitanyam. So, Brahma, Chai consciousness, everything is consciousness. When you say, how do you say that everything is consciousness? How every wave is water, how can the wave, suppose imagine if the wave happens to talk. Oh, all the waves here are water, every wave is water. This wave which tells, must have known, I am water. I, the wave, am water, must have become clear for this wave to know, to say everything is water. Isn't it? Which means, it means not only everything is water here, all the waves are myself, the water. Aham idam sarvam. If that vision the person has, then for him, every form he sees is what? Every form is a form added to the reality, the consciousness, Brahma. Like how every wave is a form added to the water. Everything he sees, different forms he sees, every form is a form added to the only Vastu. Vastu itself means what? That which alone is Vastu. Even without knowing the meaning, in India we use Vastama, solra. We say, they use these nice words, highly philosophically significant words. Vastava means real, really. You know, means that which alone is Vastu. Everything else is Avastu. With reference to ocean, you can go and count, you can have the fun of waves jumping, coming and going and drops and then rip, tip, you know, all this. But the Vastu, which does not come and go or change, is the water. Similarly here, all that, no, that Vastu here is one, and he has resolved all the essence in that Vastu. He can say, Aham Brahmasmi Sarvam Brahmasti, therefore Aham Idam Sarvam, I am everything. That he has, and how his perception will be, a perspective of a wise person, you know, is revealed in the following verses. And when he says, I am everything, all that is here is myself, which means everything is Brahman. I am everything means that vision of seeing everything as one's own self is called Sarvatma Bhavaha. The Sarvatma Bhavaha, Sarvatmatvam is revealed in this verse, all these following verses. Okay, so preparation for this verse. Okay, read it verse now. Sabrahma Sashivasendraha Soksharaf Paramaswarat Saiva Vishnu Sapranaha Sakalogni Sachandramaha Saiva Sarvam Yadbhutam Yachabhavyam Sanatanam Jnatvatam Mrityumatyeti Nanyav Pantha Vimuktaye. Oh, who is the creator of this universe? Brahma. Not Brahma. You have to learn this difference. Brahma means, it also nakaranta pullinga shabda. It's also masculine gender word. Brahma is also nakaranta napumsakalinga shabda. That is, when you imply, the reality is implied by the term Brahma. When you see the reality as the Lord of the universe, the one because of whom the manifestation is possible, you know, when you see, you use the term creator, then it implied, that is implied by the term Brahma. Creator is Brahma. Reality is Brahma. Over here, Sabrahma, because masculine gender, Saha comes, okay? Sabrahma, creator of the universe. In Puranas, this creator is personified as the four-headed. So you have no problem. Only we have problems. They were exposed to all these, who already seen the personifications, they have problems. You have not seen the problems. You are straight away understanding. So it's good. So when you see the reality as the Lord of the universe, there's no Lord otherwise. And Lord means, who is the Lord? The one from whom the universe has come into existence. The one because of whose presence the very manifestation is possible. Isn't it? It's called what? Brahma. So, Sabrahma, there is no creator other than that reality. Sabrahma, Savishnuhu. Vishnuhu is again, Vishnuhu means all pervasive. Vyapnoti sarvam iti Vishnu. Who is the one who pervades everything? The one because of whom everything remains sustained is Vishnu. Therefore, sustainer, when you see the reality as the Lord, then why you call reality as Lord? Because the one by whom everything is sustained, the sustainer of the universe is Vishnu. Therefore, we call the same reality, this as a sustainer, give a different name, Vishnu. Sab Vishnu, Sab Brahma. Then again, the whole universe, suppose when it dissolves, where will it go? All the doubt comes. Suppose one fine day, we were talking about 2012, all new age people are talking about this 2012, they're all scared. One day everything will resolve. Let's say we have no figure at all. Where the whole universe will go, still you will be there, safe. When the whole universe comes back, you will be there, safe. Oh my God, the body is born, you are there. Body is growing, you are there. Without growing, without declining, without expanding, without undergoing changes, you are there. And body one day, my God, falls apart, still you are there. How do you say that? A, the universe comes, the universe goes. The body comes, body goes. You are always there. How you are in sleep. Every time you fall asleep, how you are in sleep. Not knowing you are, not knowing the universe is, you are in sleep comfortably. And when you wake up, you know the universe, you are, the universe is. Again, that evening, again, even now in the class itself, especially today's class, must make you feel sleepy after long day's work. Slower, how many of you are scared of going to sleep? You're waiting to go and fall in your bed because we all love sleep. Nobody's afraid of sleep. Why? You know very well. When you go back to sleep, you are not going to disappear. That is, suppose, imagine, if falling asleep will make you disappear, means we will all have tea after tea, coffee after coffee, and then all wash our hand, eyes with it. You know, we say this, this particular oil to have to put in that, you know, it we call this valakana, castor oil. You put castor oil, I tell you, eyes will burn and then you can keep awake. Sometimes, you know, sometimes when old people, they want to keep, you know, when we want to safeguard certain things in the house, money, you know, they keep the money in the pillowcase means, and kandla valakkanaya potundu, you know, which means they put the castor oil and they can keep awake so that nobody comes and touches is what he has. So scared. Which means we will all sit keeping eyes open, wide open, somehow killing the sleep will sit. Why? If I fall asleep, I will disappear. We know for 100% we're sure falling asleep, I will not disappear. That is why we happily go to the bed. Now that too, after long work, hard working day, you go to bed. Why? You are not going to disappear. The same thing. After death, you will be how you are in sleep. You will come back with a new, fresh, clean, tiny little body. That's the only difference. Even the pralayam takes place, the whole deluge takes place, still you don't need to worry. You will be how you are in sleep. Only thing is, when you come back again, you may not see the same. You would have forgotten the whole your past thing. You will start your fresh life in new body with a new setup. Understand? That is why it's just a matter of understanding. Nothing happens. But forms come, forms go. They have beginning, they have an end and they undergo changes. Why? That is the nature of the very matter. The change is the unchangeable nature of the matter, which means the whole Jagat has to keep coming and going. But you will be there. Always. No? Is it clear what you understand? Once you understand this. So all that is here is what? All these forms which come and go, everything is Ishvara. Where do all these forms resolve? My God, when the forms disappear, when the whole Jagat resolves, where will it go? Where will it go? My God, where will all the forms go? Where will all the waves go? They cannot go anywhere. Then no gati for the waves. The nama, the rupam, the form wave, the name wave. There is no other gati other than water, that go back and resolve in water only. That's why there's no gati. Gati leka. Understand? Agati. We have no gati, na agati. Then no other destination. Oh, let me change my way this way. No. Understand? Agati, agati means what? You have no other. There is no gati. There's no place of. No, there's no resort for the Namarupa wave. Similarly, everything has to resolve only in that. That is why that reality, this consciousness, which is the existence in which alone all these forms resolve, in that alone. There are no other place. That is why this as a source of resolution, you give the name Shivaha. How in sleep you have Sukham. Again, in death you have temporary Sukham. In Pralaya you have temporary Sukham. In Jnanam you have permanent Sukham. In knowledge you cognitively resolve the Ahankara. There you have permanent Sukham. But in Pralaya, you have relatively temporary Sukham. In death, you have relatively temporary Sukham. In sleep, you have temporary Sukham. That is why Shivaha means auspiciousness. There is no Dukkham. Understand? That's why when you see Bhagavad, the reality as the Lord in whom everything resolves, the Lord is implied by the term Shivaha, meant by the term Shivaha. The word, not destroyer, okay? People say G stands for generation, O stands for operation, GD for destruction. That's not a good meaning. Understand? Not destruction. Where is destruction? Just the resolution only. And people like all these rhyming words. Anyway, understand? Oh, I can understand generation, operation is okay, but not destruction. Okay, I can say resolution. That's why there's no nasha at all. There's no nasha. Or a laya. Results comes back. Understand? That in physics also they say matter is indestructible. Isn't it? Interconvertible, but not destructible. Isn't it? Anyway, that's a different thing. That's what Shivaha. Who is Shiva now? Who is the one in whom everything resolves? So we say, Saha Shivaha, Sa Brahma, then Sa Indraha. Indraha again. You check the Indraha means the total power, prowess is personified as Indra. Physical prowess is stamina. What is it? In Sanskritam, always the total power in Shastram is implied by the name Devata. Whenever you hear the word Devata, see the illumination of consciousness. Or manifestation of consciousness in the form of a given shakti is called Devata. Okay, that's why, what about this total physical prowess and stamina is what? Indra. Sa Indraha. Indra Devata. He mentions few names, okay? Then, okay, which means every form you see here is nothing but a form added to Brahman, the consciousness existence. சச்சித் ரூபமேவ சர்வரூபேண பாதி. பட் வாட் இஸ் த ஒரிஜினல் ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் திஸ் பிரம்மன், ரியல் ஃபார்ம், விச் மீன்ஸ் ஓ சிவா இஸ் பிரம்ம, விஷ்ணு இஸ் பிரம்ம, இந்திரா இஸ் பிரம்ம, யூனோ பிரம்மா இஸ் பிரம்ம, விச் மீன்ஸ் வாட் இஸ் த ஒரிஜினல் ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் பிரம்மன். யூ சே ஆல் தீஸ் ஃபார்ம்ஸ் ஆர் பிரம்மன், யூ சே எவ்ரி வேவ் இஸ் வாட் இஸ் த எவ்ரி வேவ் இஸ் வாட்டர் யூ சே, பட் வாட் இஸ் த ஒரிஜினல் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் வாட்டர், H2O. Similarly, what every form is Brahman, you say, what is this Brahman? What the nature of this Brahman? But form comes and form goes. But every form is subject to get deformed, isn't it? But the one, what cannot be deformed, what is non-deformable is the formless. Therefore, consciousness existence being formless, formlessness being the very nature of the reality, the only non-deformable reality is what? That's why indestructible, unchangeable, non-deformable is Brahman. Therefore, he immediately says, Saha Aksharaha. Aksharaha means what? Indestructible, non-deformable, formless reality. Then, Paramaha. Paramaha. Paramaha, Paramaha means, Paramaha, masculine gender word, Parama, feminine gender word, Paramam, neuter gender word. Parama means absolute, ultimate, which means there is no other thing which is superior to that. There is no, why? There is no second thing other than that. And where is the something being above it, more than that, isn't it? So, Paramaha, that is the absolute. Paramaha, and what is that? Swarat. Swarat implies, Swarat means Swayam Rajate iti Swarat. That which shines by itself, that which is of the nature of self-effulgence, which means that which is of the nature of knowing. Swarat means this Ishvara, Swarup means Brahman, the consciousness, and whose Swarup means knowing. Knowing is Swarupam, and knowing is what? Actually being self-effulgent. Understand here? Like how illumining is the nature of the light means, so being illumining, all illumining means being self-luminous. Is it clear? Being all illumining is equal to being self-luminous. Hope you understood it now. Therefore, it is only, therefore here consciousness is of the nature of knowing, everything else being an object of knowledge, consciousness being the only source of knowledge, and we say it is self, it's of the nature of knowing, therefore it is self-effulgent. Swarat. Then next word we say, again he repeats, Sayeva Vishnu. Now, till here, until Saye Vishnu, all these forms in Samashti level, in the, as Devatas, at the total level, all the forms you see in total level is Brahma. Now, he's going to talk about this, the forms in Vyashti level, I mean individual level, not the total level. What about the Pranaha? Just mention only few, not all the names, okay? Instead of saying, Mike is Ishvara, Mike, no, Chari is Ishvara, Sari is Ishvara, everything he is saying, yes, he mentions few, just for us to appreciate the fact. Now he says, Sapranaha, Sapranaha, the individual level also, even the one that which obtains as the very life force in every being is consciousness. Then, Sahakalaha, what about the time factor, time? The devourer of everything, Sarva Bhakshakaha, Jagad Bhakshakaha, the devourer of everything is called Kalaha, because everything comes in time and goes in time. Nothing can escape time. Time is said to be the devourer of everything. Sarva Bhakshakaha means devourer of everything. Jagad Bhakshakaha means devourer of the whole universe. nothing which can escape the time limitation. And what about the very time? The time itself has time limitation. There is a time when the time is not. The time being there is known, time being not there is known. Therefore, that in whose presence, because of whose presence of time and absence of time is, becomes clear. And that reality is timeless reality. Therefore, time also is a form, subtle factor, is nothing but Ishvara. Saha kalaha, time also is Ishvara. Time also is Brahma. Saha agnihi. Now he mentions, now you can say, saha akashaha is Bhagavan, vayuhu is Bhagavan, agnihi Bhagavan, space, air, fire, water, earth, all the plants, all the woods, all the jungles, all the forests, all the mountains, all the stars, all the constellations, all the luminaries, all this, everything here is only Bhagavan. There's nothing which is, everything is a form added to the reality. This must be the vision of a wise person. Only then he is wise. Not simply saying it. So here it is. This vision is possible if he knows his own Swarupam. Is it possible to know this? Is it possible to see all these things? Yes. When, if you know your own Swarupam very clearly, then you can say this. You can understand this fact. Not like seeing everything like that. It's just everything's cognitive. Nothing, you're not going to do anything physically here. People think have a lot of problems, isn't it? This you have to be very careful about it. Then saha kalaha, saha agnihi, saha chandramaha. What about chandramaha means moon. Now, he is very tired of narrating, giving a list of everything. Forms in the universe are innumerably countless. Therefore, what should he say to make it easy? Saeva sarvam. Sarvam is one easy word. You don't want to narrate. No, give a list of things. Make it sarvam. All that is here is him alone. Saeva sarvam saha eva sarvam bhagavan eva. All that is here is only Ishvara. Don't think I am repeating it. Mantra repeats, so I am repeating it. Swamiji, you've been talking this to us. Whenever you come, they repeat the same thing. That's my job. Okay? That's what I am supposed to do. Every time you listen, don't listen to me like something you're listening to me. You have heard already, but still nice to listen. Don't you think so? Do you feel bored with the repetition? No. Because every time it's repeated, the fact becomes little goes in, isn't it? Sarvam sahayeva. All that is here is Bhagavan alone. Now, next. Now, what is it? All that is here means what? Don't think only which are now here. Yad bhutam. Whatever was before. From when? Timelessly. Anadi kalataha. Understand? Whatever was there before was Ishvara. Yad bhutam, yaccha bhavyam. Whatever is going to come in future later on. This also Bhagavan. Which means it's implied. The cha, yat cha, the cha means and. That and implies the present. Whatever is now. Yad bhutam, yad bhutam, yad bhavam, yad bhavyam. Whatever was there before in the past, whatever is now in the present, whatever is going to be in future, everything is this Brahman, the reality, everything is Ishvara only. The Lord. What was, so there's no doubt. Whatever was there before is not Ishvara? No, Ishvara only. Whatever now is Ishvara? Yes. That's why in Vishu Sahasranama, you just, either name, The present is Ishvara, past is Ishvara, future is Ishvara. Vishram Vishnur Vashatkaro Bhuta Bhavya Bhavat Prabhuhu. Bhavat is Ishvara. Bhuta is Ishvara. Also Bhavya is what? No, Ishvara. So what existed, what is existing, what is going to exist in future, everything is Ishvara. Therefore, they all come and go, but what about the reality? Does it have time limitation? No, sanatanam. Sadatanam becomes sanatanam. That which is always. No? That which is free from past, present and future and time limitation, eternal. Kala atitaha, but kala rahita. Is it? Or kala aparichinna vastu. We say that reality, you say what now? That's why this mantra says sanatanam. Okay. This is Ishvara. Now, what should be this person's understanding? He sees everything as Ishvara. How is it possible for him to see everything? Everything that I experience is Ishvara. Means he should have understood, I the experiencer am Ishvara. Everything here is Brahma. The subtle is Brahma, gross is Brahma, everything is Brahma. Which means I the self am consciousness Brahman. Be very clear. Which means all that is here is the self. When you say all that is here is myself, the I is not associated with the 70, 80 kilos seated in the thing. It is completely, only pure consciousness. Suppose when a person understands this, he understands this sarvatma bhava, when he has the vision of this oneness of non-duality of secondlessness of the reality, the consciousness, then such a person alone, he says, jnatva, having recognized that, this fact, recognized one's own sarupam being Brahman, and having recognized the fact of everything else being Brahman. Two things. Jnatva means what? Having recognized the truth of the Lord, the whole, as one's own self. It is not mentioned here. Jnatva means having known, having understood, having recognized. Having recognized what? The reality. What reality? Ishvara, the Lord, the whole. Having recognized the truth of Ishvara, the whole, as what? As one's own swarupam. Atmatvena brahma jnatva. It must be the understanding. Otherwise, you have not understood Ishvara. Having recognized the Lord as one's own self, one's own swarupam, atma swarupam, jnatva. Tam jnatva means having understood that Lord as one's own self. Having understood the Lord as one's own self means having understood the Lord, the truth of the Lord, the whole, as the truth of one's own self. Yatva, this person, mrityum atyeti. Now, what is the benefit of knowing? Atyeti means mrityum atyeti. He overcomes death. Overcomes death means, don't think that is better. Having kaya kalpam, I can sit for thousands. No. Mrityum atyeti means overcomes death means he becomes free from the fear of mortality, fear of death. Becoming free from fear of death means he becomes free from the sense of being a mortal. Becomes free from the sense of insecurity. Actually, insecurity is the disease. It is, you are born with the disease. And that is this. Therefore, he becomes free from sense of insecurity. And he becomes free from the sense of being a wanting person. Isn't it? So that's what mrityumatyeti means. He becomes free from the fear of death. Why? Because he understands the death. The body form, wave forms come, wave forms go. But what is there eternally, timelessly, changelessly, deathlessly is what? Water. Similarly, here also, all these forms, the physical form comes, the physical form goes. It is understanding the fact as a fact, thereby being able to accept the fact as a fact is a maturity. As this vision, person of this vision is the most mature person, and because of his we don't worry when the balloon breaks. We don't worry when the wave resolves in water, because you're objective towards that. But similarly, if you're objective towards this body also, the objectivity is possible only when you drag the essence from the body and resolve it in Brahma. That takes very long. It's a lifelong project, many lives project. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. Not one janma. Work, life after life you had to work, and for which you must have worked previous lives. That is why you are sitting here. Okay? So it's a continuity of God. By Bhagavan's grace, your effort, it might work. This janma itself, even if it doesn't work, don't worry. You will come back with the same samskara. That is why you should not give up shastra study. You want to come back to samskara. Otherwise, you will not lose the samskara. Isn't it? There's no way. You have to be with the shastram. Just with the patience. Surrender yourself to Bhagavan. Will to dharma. Then the shastram sharanam gacchami. Be with it. You will get it. Isn't it? That's why here, mrityumatyeti means he overcomes that, means he becomes free from fear of death. The forms come and go. Isn't it? Because objectivity towards your body, and you accept gracefully what you cannot change, what you have no say over. What say do you have over this body? Isn't it? All our medicines, Ayurveda, allopathy, Reiki, pranic healing, that and these, all sorts of disciplines are fantastic. They have their own limitations. They cannot help at one point, isn't it? That's why we say, that is, we have no say, means it does come, it does go. Isn't it? Forms keep going and coming, but you are objective. Therefore, this change is the mortality. There's no other mortality. And you are free from death. You are free from mortality. Understand? As Chaitanyam is free, timeless reality, you are free from death. Therefore, one overcomes the fear of death. One becomes free from fear of death, which is really becoming absolutely secure. And that's why knowledge is security. Knowledge is protection. Being free from this fear of death is in fact being emotionally absolutely protected. Jnanameva rakshakam. Nothing else can protect you in the world other than this vision. Therefore, we say what now? Mrityumatyeti. He becomes free from fear of death. Okay. Then, and that is what is freedom. You take ownership of your timelessness. Timelessness as your swarupam, which is jivan muktihi. Okay. Na anyaha pantha ayanaya. Na anyaha pantha ayanaya. Pantha means path. ayanaya for accomplishing. Na anyaha panta, there's no other shortcut method. There's no other way of attaining moksha. Knowledge is freedom. Other than knowledge, no way of becoming free. Can't I do some karma and attain moksha? Yes, definitely. Karma will prepare your mind. Karma, if you live a life of dharma, do any karma, whether laukikam karma, worldly, mundane, or secular or sacred, any karma you do, any action you do with such an attitude as injected with Shastram, then it will prepare you for jnanam. Through jnanam, you attain moksha. Can you practice pranayama? No problem. Practice pranayama, that will prepare your mind for jnanam. Through jnanam, you attain moksha. Can you practice yogasanam? Yes, practice yogasanam. Stay up. No, whatever you do. Social service, very good. Please do. Very, very good. You can relieve many people's problems, at least relative problems. Very good. It will prepare your mind. Some blows in life, which whatever you do, there will be blows. Why? We have part of the bank. Blows will be there. And somehow you will be prepared. So that through jnanam you attain moksha. Bhakti, we'll talk next class. Okay? I want to cover three verses, only two. Na anyaha pantha vidyate. Remember this. It's a very important line. Na anyaha pantha vidyate. There's no other way. This is the way. This is the way of life. These are the means, sadhanani. This is the way of life you have to live. This is the, understand now? This is how you can attain jnanam. This is only through jnanam you can attain moksha. No other way. So authentic statement of Upanishad. If you have Shraddha in Shastram, I was a Vaidika. And you just bow to it. People doubt Shastram, and for them, we don't argue with the such people, we bow to them, keep distance. Because we have no time to waste, our time is so precious. Every day in life, this Janma, we don't know when we're going to end it, very precious.
Jai Jai Govinda, Jai Hari Govinda. Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda Jai Jai Govinda Jaya Hari Govinda
Jai Jai Govinda, Jaya Hari Govinda. Govinda, Jaya Hari Govinda. Jai Jai Govinda, Jaya Hari Govinda. Govinda, Jaya Hari Govinda. Govinda, 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 Govinda. Govinda, Govinda, Govinda Nama Sankirtanam. Govinda, all we should say, Hare Govinda, should say, okay? Govinda Nama Sankirtanam. Govinda, Hare Govinda. Ikarantana, vocative. Govinda Nama Sankirtanam. Govinda, Govinda, Hare Govinda. Govinda, Hare. Go and Govinda, Hare Govinda.